Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Wednesday, November 30th, 2022. I didn't do a movie. Let's do the announcements again. Top of the second hour, you perhaps have heard RBN is, we are conducting a book drive, John Stadtmiller book drive. Now through January 8th, donate $100 plus for an opportunity to receive a book previously owned by John Stadtmiller himself. Winners will be announced every Sunday evening during hour two of Off the Beaten Path with Steve Elkins, 8 p.m. Central. Entrants who do not win a book will carry over into the next week's drawing. So the sooner you donate, the greater your odds. I think it's a great gift idea. And congratulations to previous winners, Robert, Tyler, David, Ingrid. Thank you, everyone, for your generosity in helping support the network. This week's book, week four, book Killzone, A Sniper Looks at Dealey Plaza by Craig Roberts. And for whatever reason, when I think of, you know, this book, I just think of John Judge. I don't know why that is, but that's what I think of. 25 days to Christmas, 32 days to New Year's. The movie is not Babes in Toyland, even though Babes in Toyland was released today, November 30th in 1934. It's just creepy. It's in the, I talked about that when I started doing the movie stuff, you know, the whole, you know, it's in that L. Frank Baum, you know, let's trip out on acid or LSD and write a movie for kids. That's fun. And this is all part of the theosophical contingent, part of the Western esotericism, I would say, that we see, you know, the symbolism of the season. And for that matter, the Kabbalistic, deeply Kabbalistic thematic elements in the other one that I mentioned, the Christmas Chronicles, Christmas Chronicles 2 especially. So I think for obvious reasons, I am not, you know, I can't possibly do. I thought about doing another list, like creepy symbolism in some of these holiday movies. It seems like a time when that's taken advantage of. I'm going to go with Miracle of the Bells, in keeping with the bells and the, you know, the theme over the last couple of days. Monday was the Bells of St. Mary's, 1945. Yesterday was Going My Way, 1944, which is interesting because they were flipped. Bells was written first, released later. Going My Way was written last, released first. So Miracle of the Bells, 1948, starring Sinatra and Fred McMurray, E.J. Cobb, and some other folks. It's an interesting story. And again, the symbolism of the time is also interesting. So that's it. So, Chris.
Yes, sir.
You know, one of the other things that comes to my mind when we talk about this stuff is, you know, I've mentioned, it's just like a whole different perspective. If you can step back and if, you know, for those who read the Bible and say, I believe it, I believe the God of the Bible, we have been fed these things that really, I think, hinder and sort of truncate our view and understanding of things. One of the things that I think is something that's very provocative and worth investigating, and for whatever reason, when you ask your question, this comes to my mind, is, you know, for example, I have mentioned Edward Bellamy, Fabian Socialist Edward Bellamy's book, Looking Backward, 2000 to 1887. And of course, we know that, you know, his cousin Francis Bellamy is credited with the Pledge of Allegiance, which gives us the kind of the nationalization theme around the turn of the 20th century. Before the turn of the 20th century, America was a union of several states. At the turn of the 20th century, we get things like the Pledge of Allegiance that all of a sudden now we start thinking that it's this big welded together thing, and we're pledging allegiance to, you know, the flag, you know, and the republic for which it stands, which you know, one nation under God. Wait a minute. Wasn't it a union of several states? I thought it was. Anyway, so Edward Bellamy writes, looking backward, a socialist, you know, a utopian socialist, what do you call it? Just kind of vision of the future, which gives rise to these Bellamy clubs in the United States, 162 in the United States alone. And everybody starts talking about this stuff, but critics said that it was heavily plagiarized. And so my point here is, you know, like with the Israel impetus, and there's another point too that I need to get back to, the Romans 11:25 thing that is, I would say, it's being weaponized, it's being exploited for a variety of purposes. But what if you had, instead of like all these guys get the same ideas, you know, and you hear about it with Tesla and Marconi, or, you know, going back in history, there are numerous episodes of this where this guy had the idea here and that guy had the idea over there. Oh, well, these guys had spies in the patent office, and so they were watching him and feeding information to that guy. And that's kind of plausible, but as with, you know, the case of Bellamy and looking backward, where his critics accused him of plagiarizing heavily from other authors, what if it's not that? What if these people in this case, for example, are engaging in automatic writing like Alice Bailey did, and it's essentially the same author working through different, you know, people that this spirit is possessing?
Could it be Satan?
Exactly. You know, I mean, what if that's just something you never hear about? But if you read the Bible, it seems like that's possible. And you have evidence, again, with, I mean, even Wikipedia says that the bulk of the work credited to Alice Bailey was, they call, a received work. And it was automatic writing. In other words, it wasn't her writing it at all. So why is that not something that we discuss? And so how much of that occurred over the last 150 years, for example, with the creation of what I would call the counterfeit of the biblical outline of the restoration of Israel? Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's all about deception, right? I mean, it's all deception. That's Satan's primary tool,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep, absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And then the Romans 11:25 thing, you know, it's easy to, especially with what you mentioned, you know, what is the history of this modern state of Israel? It is rooted in terrorism. And, you know, the Irgun, the Stern Gang, I mean, you can't read that history and not just be horrified.
Well, it's kind of like, I love the litmus test that Jesus gave us, which, like I said earlier, was, you will know them by their fruits. Is that mm-hmm. is that apropos?
Yeah.
Is it all this time? I'm thinking, oh, Israel's great. And they've got all these things that we say, oh, it's the first nation where the children taught their parents the mother tongue and all these wonderful miracles. And it's, you know, no generation will pass. The last person won't die before Jesus comes back because Israel was created again and all those things. And to me, it's like, okay.
And at the same time,
truth.
And at the same time, the backdrop of that is, by deception thou shalt do war. Speaking what? Of deceiving.
Deception. Say that one more time.
By deception thou shalt do war.
Right. And that is that scripture?
No, that's the by way of deception thou shalt do war is the Mossad's motto.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So that's the backdrop of this, you know.
Wow.
How wonderful, wow. Okay. You know, the wonderful work that God has done, and the backdrop of that is, to your point about deception is the devil's primary tool. Well, so this all sort of gets to my point about Romans 11:25, and Paul says, you know, he's going back and forth through the early chapters of Romans, you know, who's great? And who's great is God. It's not the Jews or the Greeks. It's not the Jews or the Gentile. It's God. He's the one who's great. And so he says in 11:25, "For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed or ignorant of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." And so that is that's an interesting paradox that he unpacks a little bit, but it means the hardness means that there's a distance from this contingent that Paul is talking about, Israel. There's a distance that allows, you know, there's a hardness of heart and a distance from God that allows others to be grafted in, the wild branch to be grafted into the natural, as he says. And that's a wonderful blessing, but it's being exploited. That hardness, I think, is being exploited. And I think that's where you get the kind of sinister aspects of what is called Israel. Or, you know, and there's even more than that. I think there's, for the genuine, if there is a Hebraic contingent, you know, if there are the actual Semites that we don't hear from on the historical landscape that I can tell, then Romans 11:25 applies to them. Then there are those who call themselves Jews but are not, and that's the Roman or the Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 contingent. And to the general public, those are, if you even recognize the discussion at all, those two are indistinguishable. Most of us are not sophisticated enough to even know that this is happening, let alone is there a distinction between those whose hearts have been hardened, which I would call the sheepfold, and then the Revelation 2:9-3:9 contingent that masquerades among them and uses them as human shields to do bad things.
Can I ask you a question? Do you think that the Jews that run the world, the ones that we know about that aren't actually Jews, do you think they hijacked Israel?
What do you mean Jews? By hijacked?
So if these Jews that aren't really Jews but run everything, right, they see, oh, they're creating this state of Israel because they believe it's all whatever they believe, and so we're just going to use that. We're going to jump on board and make it a terrorist organization.
It is the counterfeiting of the biblical restoration of Israel to accomplish what Pike outlined in the Third World War. And this is not, by the way, you know, people listening, if I don't acknowledge it, they'll say, are you saying that Jews or counterfeit Jews around the world? No, I keep mentioning, you know, what Bill Cooper said, which I agree with. It's not the Jews. It's the mystery schools and so forth. It's this, what I would generally categorizes the Western esoteric influence, the Hellenistic influence that is Gnostic and Kabbalistic in nature. And so it's not just Jewish folks, but like you said, you know, those who the world would call Jewish largely because they call themselves Jewish, I would not necessarily. And so anyway, that's a different discussion. But I think, you know, what we call Israel is not the biblical Israel, because the biblical Israel is, sure, it becomes a nation, but all of the nations have their roots in people. And this, to me, changes the landscape of the Ezekiel 38 discussion, for example, because these are all names of people. They're not, before they're nations, they're people. And before Israel was a nation, Jacob had a name change by God. And so I think we need to dig into the word studies a little deeper and understand the distinctions that are made, the nuances that underlie the terminology that are not necessarily evident in the English, no matter what translation.
Wow. I'll let you continue, Chris. God bless. Keep listening.
You too.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks. Yeah. Much appreciated, Chris. I appreciate your call. Hopefully that's helpful to somebody. That's definitely I don't know. That's ground not often trodden, but maybe should be, I suppose, especially for, you know, those of us who call themselves, you know, call ourselves Christians. I mean, we should know what we believe and why we believe it. And if there's a popular view, you know, I mean, Jesus said friendship with the world is enmity. But, you know, Jesus said similar things. World, you know, hated me, it'll hate you. And so, if it's that popular, and the folks who seem like, I think James 4:4 is, yeah. Anyway, if it's wildly popular, or, you know, if it takes time and then finally becomes wildly popular in the world, then maybe there's more to the story. Maybe it's not exactly as we're led to believe. And so in any case, you know, Paul reminds us, for example, in Romans 14, that we all give account for ourselves. If you are someone who believes the Bible, it's not what so-and-so said on TBN or Daystar or what my pastor said in my local, or what we give account for ourselves. So it's kind of important for us to know what we believe and why we believe it. And belief is a very important subject. You know, again, you watch the Christmas Chronicles, you know, watch any of these movies. Why is the subject of belief? It's the theme through every single one of them, every single one. I almost feel like doing the movie list is a bad idea. I was thinking about it last night. Is it a bad idea? I mean, hopefully I preface and, you know, these are not, you know, dogmas and mantras to live by. It's just something to sort of take the edge off a little bit if we choose, not to become an idol, you know, just something a little light, and that's all. We're headed into a break. Stick around. I'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What have we learned from the recent election? I'm Peter Serafin with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system before cold and flu season. All of the polls before Tuesday's election predicted a huge red tidal wave, but what really happened was more like a red sun shower. What does this indicate? It could mean that the polls just aren't relevant or reliable anymore. It could mean that Republican voters took massive wins for granted and just didn't turn out to vote. Some will say it's more proof of fraud or a selection rather than an election. I think the results show that far too many people put party politics above their own best interest. Polls showed that the economy and inflation were the number one priority of voters, and polls also showed that voters believe Republicans are better at handling those issues. But voters have been told for years that Republicans are racist Nazis. So maybe many people just won't vote Republican despite believing Republican candidates represent their own best interest. After all, who could vote for Hitler just because milk got too expensive? Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
So on the subject of Christianity, let's define terms a little bit. I mean, the Bible is the best resource for that, but be that as it may, I'm going to draw from Chambers' My Most for His Highest. Today's entry, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this is interesting because, man, I think this cuts right to the heart of so many things. And the best illustration biblically of the testament to what Chambers writes, in my humble estimation, is David. Because, I mean, I don't know, for so many reasons, in my mind, David is a wonderful testament to this. You know, when Samuel confronts him about, which is it, the Bathsheba incident or the census? I think it's the census. That when Samuel confronts him about that, David says, you know, so Samuel says, you know, you have two options. You can basically fall on the mercy of men or the judgment of God. And David, and I'm paraphrasing, but David basically says, you know, the judgment of God is always more merciful than the mercy of men. And you see over and over, including the Bathsheba incident or episode, that he, I'll call it more of an incident, he's repentant. And you could easily be someone who falls into a sense of false humility and guilt and all this kind of stuff, which is a denial of God. And Chambers writes about that. So to Chambers' entry, by the grace of God, I am what I am, I guess Popeye was right. 1 Corinthians 15:10, his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Chambers writes, the way we continually talk about our own inability is an insult to the Creator. The deploring of our own incompetence is a slander against God for having overlooked us. Get into the habit of examining in the sight of God the things that sound humble before men, and you will be amazed at how staggeringly impertinent they are. Oh, I shouldn't like to say I am sanctified. I'm not a saint. Say that before God. And it means, no, Lord, it is impossible for you to save and sanctify me. There are chances I have not had so many imperfections in my brain and body. No, Lord, it isn't possible. That may sound wonderfully humble before men, but before God, it is an attitude of defiance. And so parenthetically, I would say, again, it gets back to this question of belief. And again, Revelation 21:8 comes to mind, for example. Again, the things that sound humble before God may sound the opposite before men. To say, thank God, I know I am saved and sanctified, is in the sight of God the acme of humility. It means you have so completely abandoned yourself to God that you know he is true. Never bother your head as to whether what you say sounds humble before men or not, but always be humble before God and let him be all in all. There is only one relationship that matters, and that is your personal relationship to a personal Redeemer and Lord. Let everything else go, but maintain that at all costs. But maintain that at all costs, and God will fulfill his purpose through your life. One individual life may be of priceless value to God's purposes, and yours may be that life, which is why Jesus said, you know, the good shepherd will leave the 99 to go and save the one. To me, that's the embodiment of the spirit of the true spirit of Christmas, which is somewhat redundant, and on the other hand, somewhat oxymoronic. But seriously, that's the true spirit of Christmas, in my opinion. And you know, if there is a Christianity is about the abandonment of oneself to Christ, not about a religion or some kind of, you know, again, the dogmas are dead, as I said, really kind of to open the holidays and lead into the holy day or the Christmas season. Dogmas are a dead thing. And by the same token that Chambers writes, they do the same thing. Man has declared, therefore it is so. That's what he's saying. I have said, God, you cannot do this thing. So you're greater than the one that created you? That's, wow. That's quite a statement. And that's that. We'll move on when we come back. Stick around.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a $1 billion industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
A child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard.
Back. Bottom of the second hour already of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. It's Wednesday, November 30th, 2022. And so let's dive into the dumpster fire a little bit. Here's a question. How do you get the masses to think the unthinkable, as Julian Huxley posited, or believe the unbelievable, as Disney did, so to speak, or entertain the possibilities of what would otherwise be unimaginable or unthinkable, unconscionable? And, the answer is why you simply tell stories, of course. And you can do that in a way that's plausibly deniable, as we've seen over the last 100 years in particular. And then when people object to the subject matter, you say, well, you know, you just, you hate certain things, and you know, you want to burn books and things, and you know, not all literature is created equal, not all knowledge is created equal, and so speaking of Paul and Romans, you know, I mentioned this over the last couple of days, but there's the Hosea 4 example, but in Romans 3, he says it all, quoting the Psalms and Isaiah, and it's quite an indictment. And I think you can look back over the 20th century and see This is where the utopians lead us. The laundry list, you know, all have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths. and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So where are we in the speed of the Hellenistic influence, the Hellenization, the re-Hellenizing of the whole world? Where are we in that? Is the Western world, is America teaching the world that Nietzsche, who said, God is dead, I am the Antichrist, basically, is that the, you know, and the in this might makes right kind of thing, you know, will to power, is that the prevailing influence? You know, when we dispense with all the pleasantries, this is all that's left. It's the Highlander mindset. There can be only one. It's kill or be killed. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Sounds patently Nietzschean to me, or Kantian, or Jungian, or Freudian. Pick one. So, how do you get the masses to think the unthinkable? You tell stories. You have the philosopher kings say what they say, and then you write stories about this stuff. You have the Lewis Carrolls and the apostates, generally speaking, like Lewis Carroll. Tolkien, Rowling, Lewis, apostates. Tell stories. Enter the storytellers. And isn't that this time of year? Doesn't this year, this time of year, isn't it categorized by the storytellers who want to tell us to believe? What are they advocating we believe? Again, we should probably guard where we point our adoration and focus and, dare I say, faith and worship and belief and those kinds of things. So on a similar and sort of parallel note, educing information. There was the, the NDIC, the National Defense Intelligence College, piece that they put together back in 2006. We'll get to that. But the word is a strange word, educing information, meaning to draw or bring out, to elicit, or to infer or work out from given facts, to draw out or to lead or bring out, cause to appear or be manifested, bring into view or operation, to manifest or evoke, to infer or deduce, develop or evolve from a latent to or potential state, deduce or construe. This is a very slippery word. You know, could we call this a neologism, perhaps? So to educing is not just output, it's also input. In other words, it's not just to extract, maybe it's also to, you know, permeate or such. So educing information, interrogation, science and art foundations for the future, December 2006, National Defense Intelligence College. This is an interesting document. I want to go through this quickly. This is the kind of yikes kind of stuff. All of this is, you know, speaking of the Israel thing and the counterfeit and what's been happening. Again, if you start to get a picture of history, there's something that's been happening that is, you know, it's not confined to the efforts of men or, you know, one man or a group of men or, you know, a family or a group of families. It is much bigger than that. And you get a picture of it in certain places. You get a picture of it, I would say, you know, at the Work of the Hierarchy entry on over at LuciusTrust.org. And again, I'm not advocating anyone read it, but that's basically the devil telling you, here's the game. here's what's going on. Chuck Missler said it well, I think, when he said, mankind is both the pawn and the prize. So, educing information, interrogation, science and art, foundations for the future, intelligence science board, phase one report. How many phases were there? Phase one report, National Defense Intelligence College, NDIC Press, Center for Strategic Intelligence Research. Interesting paper. Phase one advisors, Robert A. Fine, Chair of the Study and Member Intelligence Science Board, Paul Lerner, MITRE Corporation, Brian Vosukel, Counterintelligence Field Activity, David Becker, Defense Intelligence Agency, John Berglund, Homeland Security, Brian Bodig, FBI, Michael Gellis, NCIS, Michael Kremlicek, U.S. Army Intelligence, Robert McFadden, Counterintelligence Field Activity, C.A. Morgan III, Intelligence Technology Innovation Center, Kenneth Rollins, Joint Personnel Recovery Agency, Scott Shumate, Counterintelligence Field Activity, Andre Simons, FBI, John Walquist, NDIC. Randall, members of Intelligence Science Board Senior Advisory Group on educing information. Listen to this. This is an intelligence community kind of deal. And, you know, James, several of us have talked recently about the end and beyond, far back into antiquity. There's a post on RBN, in fact, that talks about the roots of the CIA as, you know, a what I would call just kind of a continuation of the the Baconian invisible college, essentially, that, you know, is a society that will see all and be seen by none. They're identifying and handpicking from the colleges. I mean, you know, the colleges would be the incubator. You have these kids come in. Who is malleable? Who is useful? We identify them. We pluck them. We groom them. If they get out of line, you know, they're suborned. And if they get out of line, they're burned. You're disposable. I mean, that's kind of the process. But, you know, this is an intelligence community-oriented document. Listen to this list. Members of Intelligence Science Board Senior Advisory Group on Educing Information. Again, this is a very strange Lovian kind of effort. Randall Fort, Vice President, Goldman Sachs. Oh, what? Why is Randall Fort there? Dr. Paul Gray, Professor of Electrical Engineering and President Emeritus, MIT. Dr. Margaret Homburg, there she is, Senior Scientist, Nuclear Threat Initiative. The NTI is an interesting discussion. Just ask Whitney Webb. Philip B. Hyman, James Barr Ames Professor for Criminal Justice, Harvard University. Dr. Ernest May, also Harvard. Dr. Anthony G. Ottinger, Chairman Program on Information Resource Policy, Harvard. Dr. Irvin J. Roeke, President, Moravian College. It's an interesting collection of folks. And educing information, detection. So Gary Hazlitt's paper, research on detection of deception, what we know versus what we think we know, or Ariel Newman and Daniel Salinas Serrano's custodial interrogations, what we know, what we do, and what we can learn from law enforcement experiences. Or Stephen M. Kleinman's Barriers to Success. What constitutes success, by the way? Barriers to Success, Critical Challenges in Developing a New Educing Information Paradigm. Well, what is the old paradigm? And there are many more papers that they draw from. What is the old paradigm? Stephen Kleinman's excellent paper on the Kubark Counterintelligence interrogation review. This is the CIA manual, basically the interrogation manual, that was allegedly published in 63 and then disclosed publicly in 97, even though we had hearings in the 70s on the MK Ultra stuff. So just to give you a flavor, I'm going to have to continue this tomorrow for sure, but give you an idea from the prologue. U.S. Experience in Research and Educing Information, A Brief History by Robert A. Fine. Research on Interrogation Techniques. I mentioned this yesterday, I mentioned it before. What is the history? The official version is, well, you know, we had to do this. So Research on Interrogation Techniques. World events in the post-war period shifted U.S. government attention to the techniques that other countries might apply against U.S. personnel, naturally. Shifted U.S. government attention, even though this was actually going on long before, and in truth, most of what was imported later was exported before. I digress. The rise of the Soviet Union as a world power. How did that happen, by the way? Did international industrialists, some of whom we would call American, many of whom actually would call American, did Anthony Sutton prove that conclusively? Did Major Racy Jordan's diaries demonstrate evidence that, you know, the big bad Soviet boogeyman was not exactly what we were led to believe? The rise of the Soviet Union as a world power and the birth of the People's Republic of China led to widespread concern about Soviet and Chinese interrogation capacities. These concerns were highlighted by a number of communist show trials, and the public confessions is an interesting subject, particularly in light of this document. Confessions of a few captured U.S. servicemen during the Korean War. Well, how can we, anyway, so, a national debate ensued at the conclusion of hostilities in Korea. How could one understand U.S. servicemen who confessed, quote unquote, to dropping bombs filled with germs on civilian population, events that did not occur, question mark, you know, and without getting into the controversy of history. Continuing. Were these men traitors or had they been brainwashed? A term popularized by Edward Hunter in 1951. The general U.S. public and researchers alike wondered whether Russians and or the Chinese, possibly building on behavioral conditioning techniques developed by scientists such as Ivan Pavlov. And you know, how much of what continues on even to this day is rooted in this kind of stuff. There's a disclosure. Maybe I can find that. It's so funny what these bad guys do. Behavioral conditioning techniques. The commingling of efforts under surreptitious justifications. It's interesting how that works. Yep, we're headed into a break. I'll finish this when we get back. Stick around.
Next year all our troubles will be out of sight.
Extendivite really works. Kate, Great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
Welcome back. Final segment. You know, this stuff goes way back, though. What kinds of mind control techniques were being employed behind the iron and bamboo curtains? Concerns about communist interrogation methods led to substantial U.S. government research programs in the 1950s. In the nature and practices utilized by the Soviets and Chinese, these studies were essentially defensive in nature. There's more on that, though, in this paper itself. Defensive in nature, ostensibly anyway. Their goal, ostensibly, was to learn about the interrogation behaviors of adversaries in order to equip U.S. servicemen with needed defensive capabilities. Right. That's the good reason, as Alan Watt would remind us. Noted social scientists and physicians were affiliated with the military and intelligence community. Arthur Biderman, Robert J. Lifton, Edgar Schein, Lawrence Hinkle Jr., and Harold Wolff conducted studies, et cetera, et cetera. Group for the Advancement of Psychiatry, Archives of Neurology and Psychiatry. Several scholarly books were published on interrogation, such as The Manipulation of Human Behavior, which is a very similar compilation, I would say, of subject matter very similar to educing information. Anyway, that'll do it for today. Let's go to the phones real quick as we go out. Patrick in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Charlotte Etherby wrote about the Soviet Academy of Sciences. Mm-hmm. It was a brain think tank where all this stuff like Edward Bernays, all this type of mind control came from. Well, how to brainwash our children? That was her point, in the schools. That influenced us over here. It was all communistic, and then we get the Frankfurt School coming out of Germany, which came over here, and that's a big influence on more into our universities. But we got Operation Snow. That was going on during Roosevelt's administration, where the Henry Dexter White, the communist, had direct connection to Stalin and the boys over there. And he was sitting there, and the Secretary of the Treasury had a huge influence on planning Pearl Harbor and all that.
And also close ties to folks like the Rockefellers and so forth, speaking of the origins of the CIA coming out of the OSS and so forth.
Yeah. And it just goes to show you the nature of what was really going on. It was already communist way back. And you mentioned Major Jordan's diaries. My God, we were just handing them everything we could put together.
Yep.
All our money, everything. Yep. It was just amazing. I let you go.
Thank you, Patrick. Much appreciated as always. Yeah, absolutely. And so you have to ask, why? Why was that happening? That'll do it for today's broadcast. We'll pick up on this tomorrow. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
As big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite, said the little lamb to the shepherd boy.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, right, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.